It's always good to review what the most important things are, what we're called to do, and here we've kind of summarized that at Warehouse Church as our mission is what our mission is. That was okay. All right, here we go. Our mission is to know God and to make Him known. Yeah, that was great. You guys are rocking that. Yeah, man. That's what life is all about, and that is our job to do while we are still here in this window of opportunity here before we die or see Jesus at His return. So that's important, and my mind quite often goes back to just trying to distill things down to their essence, to the stuff that's most important. And so praying about what teaching could or maybe should be this month, kept getting back to prayer because prayer is so foundational and it's so important, but sadly it's so neglected and misunderstood amongst Christians. And not that I've got everything figured out. The more I think about prayer and study and meditate, in some ways the less I really understand about it. Because there is this element of mystery behind it. The mystery of prayer. You guys hear me say this quite a bit here, but it's worth repeating. You know, when we pray, we're not informing God of anything. He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. He doesn't need you or I to do anything. He did a pretty good job speaking creation and the universe and everything we see into existence. He didn't need us to do that. And He's maintained it pretty well for all of these years. On the macro level, on the micro level, He's pretty good at that. But we have this thing that's all over the Bible, starting from the book of Genesis, continuing into the book of, and ending in the book of Revelation. This whole story of God, this whole experience of walking with God, it happens through His people communicating with Him. So what is prayer? Let's talk about just a very, again, very basic but important definition. You know, here we go. I think we've got it. Prayer is communicating with God. Both speaking and listening. Often we don't even think about that second part I put up here. We listen really to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've never heard an audible voice, but His voice is still there nonetheless. Jesus speaking through the Holy Spirit. You know, we read in the Gospel of John where Jesus said, "My sheep will know My name. I'll call out to them. I'll lead them from one pasture to another pasture and keep them fed well." All of that stuff. So there is that sensitivity that God wants us to be able to grow in to where we discern and are able to sense His leading. But we're not going to get it at all unless we're even in a place of understanding that that's how it works. And then once we understand that, that we're open to that. I remember the last time, I think it was a few years ago, I did teaching on prayer. Anybody remember what the mural was on the back wall? Any idea? Yeah, it was the radio tower, you know, and Steve did a really cool tower there on the globe there, and the little catchphrase, our motto was "Tune in." You know, it's the whole idea that God is always speaking. There's stuff that He wants to tell us all the time, but unless we are aware of that, and then unless we're tuned in, not just in some mechanical sense, but in a spiritual sense, that we're aware of that. That's the same kind of thing that we're talking about. Both speaking to God and listening to God. One of the other ways we listen to God is through the clear voice of God in Scripture. Some of the most important stuff is pretty plain, is pretty clear. And we need to look at that and hear God's voice as we pray. So really in our spiritual disciplines, our habits, the stuff we do as we learn to live with God and to communicate with Him, both our speaking and our listening to Him, is that we're patient, that we don't freak out about all of this stuff. But this whole mystery of prayer, you know, the God who is all-powerful and all-knowing, He invites us into His work. He includes us in that. Why does He do that? Because He loves relationships so much. I'm convinced that's the number one reason. Again, not that He needs us, but He wants us to be partners with Him in His work. So cool. So hopefully you'll walk out of here this morning saying, wow, wow, God cares about me. And thinking that in a healthy way, biblical way, that God doesn't need me, but He loves me, and He wants to welcome me in that. And I don't have time to tell you my illustration on that. Some of you guys have heard it, but ask me later after service if you want to know what that illustration might have been. But another cool thing about the mystery of prayer is when we pray, our hearts and minds and lives are changed. This is cool. This is really cool. So God, in His revealing Himself to us process that this to know God is all about, He wants to show Himself more to us all the time, every day. God would love for us to see another aspect for that diamond of God, of who God is, to be turned and to see Him in a different light, and the light bounce off in a different way and say, whoa, thank You, Lord. You are awesome all over again. But our hearts and minds are changed. Again, when we pray for that neighbor who's been a real pain to us, guess who gets changed first? I do. You do. You know, unless we're still going rote through the motions out of just dry obedience, which isn't always bad either as a starting place, because you're not going to be 100% rocking on this stuff now, or you won't. You may not feel like it. You may wake up most mornings, that's me, and not feeling this great about it, but you do it because it's right, and you know that God has a blessing in there, and obedience always precedes the blessing, even in praying for people. When you pray, you intercede for them, you ask God to show up in their lives, and guess what? God ends up revealing Himself to you and changing you. So God loves to change our hearts and minds. So it changes us, and it really does change the people we pray for. And I'm not really encouraging you to pray, God, get them prayers. You know, this guy's such a jerk, Lord. I pray that You'd change him, you know? Don't be praying those kind of prayers when you pray for people. That's kind of a accusatory prayer. You know, pray blessing on them, even if they appear to be your enemy at the time. They're not really your enemy. It's not flesh and blood. But the enemy of your soul might be using them, or they might be in a situation where they're kind of being a thorn in the flesh. But pray blessing. We'll get into that a little bit later. But it's been said that the Word of God and study of God's Word and receiving truth from the Bible, it's like food for your soul. That's a picture that the Bible itself says about itself, that God's Word is food for the soul. But I want you to think about that prayer is like water for the soul. And it's awesome to be drinking water. And you might be able to go a day or two or maybe a week. I do know people that have done 40-day fasts on just juice and stuff. After about 2 hours, I'm like ready to eat, you know. But it's possible to go a while without solid food. But you can't go very long at all without water to drink. The human body is, on the average, 60 to 65, sometimes as low as 50, sometimes as low as high as 75% of water, depending on age and a lot of other factors. But 60 to 65% seems to be the good average for that. So that's why we need it all the time. You know, and I would say, what about our life with God? It needs to be at least that. 60, 65, if you could even do the breakdown, I don't think we can, but kind of to look at that situation from the flip side, don't raise your hand or anything, but how many people try to just end up going through trying to follow Jesus without really praying, or trying to be a Christian without prayer being vital? You're not drinking the water. You're not sustaining yourself in a way that God has designed you to be sustained, you know? So just think of that. It's one of the things I'm praying that we all remember from this, just that prayer is like water for the soul and for your relationship with God. And guess what? A broken world all around us totally needs this. If we're to impact the world with God's love, you know, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything, to obey everything I've commanded you. Wow, if that's our job description, to make Him known in that way, They need to see this. We need to be living in a vital, living vital, vibrant relationship with God. Living vital. Vital's all about life. It means it's needed and vibrant. That means, whoa, you look at it and it's not static and just sitting there, but your life is full of the awesome movement of God, the Holy Spirit showing up, love coming out of your life. That only happens as we pray. As prayer is just the natural rhythm of who we are and what we do. And yeah, there's a structured part, a disciplined part of that. At least I found that in my life. I believe that that's very true. We'll start talking about that today. But man, here's what we're going to be covering. Here's the roadmap for these 5 weeks. Today is pray alone. Next week, we'll talk about praying together. Then the next week, praying in faith. What does it really take? What's God really looking for in prayer with us? Praying in faith, praying continually, praying without stopping. And then last of all, praying at Warehouse. What does that look like for us as a church family, and how do we grow in that? But hey, just for this morning, a few minutes we have left, we're going to look at someone. We're going to learn about prayer from the best, and that's Jesus, our perfect example in everything. So if you have your Bible, now it's time to open it up. I encourage you to bring a Bible with you when you come. Again, some of you guys are pretty good electronically. If you're not, I still like a paper Bible is pretty helpful here. But just a few examples here of Jesus. And again, this bizarre mystery of the Trinity, the one God in three persons, God the Father in heaven, and during Jesus' incarnation, Him being on the earth, and at places like His baptism, the Holy Spirit showing up. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, there's a lot going on with that. There's interaction between the persons of the Trinity. Scripture tells us that there's love. Jesus said there's love between Him and the Father. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. There's all of this stuff going on in this within the Godhead, within the Trinity. And how does that all work out here? But we know that there's love within that. And if Jesus needed to pray during the time when He was on the earth, man, we need that all the more. We need it all the more even than Jesus did. And prayer was, His life was soaked in prayer. You know, we see Him praying in the morning. We see Him praying during the day. We see Him praying at night. We see Him praying sometimes through the night. Just a few references here. Early in the morning, when's a good time to pray alone? These are all references to, in the Gospels where Jesus prayed alone. Very early in the morning. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people here. Well, let's do it. How many are morning people? Yeah? All right, way to go. My hand's up too. I'm with you. How many are absolutely not morning people? Yeah, about half the room. You know, that's cool. I get it. So I would say for you guys, again, maybe your significant kind of time alone with God might be later at night when all us morning people are already in bed. Our house kind of works like that, you know. I wake up early. I get to be by myself and pray and do some time in God's Word. But, man, 10:30, I'm getting ready for bed if I'm not in bed already. And Irene and kids are off and just getting going by that time. So that's understood. But I would say, and I was taught as a young kid, young believer, to, hey, look at the model of Jesus. The first thing in the day, let's include God in that. And we'll talk a little bit more in a few weeks when we talk about praying continually and what that looks like. But Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Awesome. Here's a good quote that's attributed to a pretty awesome guy, Martin Luther, famous reformer here. And you got a busy day? Well, here's what Martin would tell us. He says, I've got so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done. You know, there's just something about putting God first, giving Him that first fruits time of the day that makes the rest of your day all the more efficient and effective. I believe that, you know. So you have morning person, night person, whatever, but giving God the first and the best is going to be important to us, okay? So again, you don't have, if you're too busy, you should never be too busy to pray, to at least start. Again, I'm not saying, like Martin says, you get 3 hours on the books here in prayer, but at least start with God and include Him throughout the day. And you'll be amazed about how He actually shows up when we invite Him. When we don't invite him, sometimes he's like, oh, cool, I'll let you kind of hit some road bumps here. Not because he's mean, but he's like a parent. You ever have a parent that they told you what to do, but you did it your own way and you ended up messing things up big time? Happened to me quite a few occasions. That's what God does often, and, you know, he'll just wait till we turn to him sometimes. So very early in the morning, Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We need time alone with us and God. We need time praying with others. Yeah, that's super important. But we need time just you and God. Why? Because God cares about you. He wants you. As bad as you think you are, or maybe as good as you think you are, he still cares about you. And he wants you. Have you had a busy day? You've had a lot of stuff going on. Matthew 14:23. It says, after Jesus had dismissed them, and this was the 5,000 people he just fed. Talk about a huge crowd. Talk about busyness and picking up all kinds of baskets of stuff that was left over that the disciples did. Man, there was chaos. There was people running all over the place. You think your life is busy. Man, that was a hectic day, no doubt. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Maybe especially after a real busy day, instead of just hitting the sack, man, that's time to spend a few minutes with the Father. Just you and him, kind of debriefing, kind of just taking a few breaths and spending time with God. What about an important decision? You have something coming up that's a pretty big deal. That's going to maybe affect your life, the lives of others, maybe a little bit of history down the road. Luke 6:12. Here's Jesus. We have that? Yeah. And he went to the mountainside and he spent the whole night praying to God. And this was right before he chose and designated the 12 as his disciples, as his apostles. So, man, there are seasons that we are called to spend not just a few minutes of prayer, but maybe a night of prayer with the Lord. This, I have to admit, I've only done this a few times where I've just had an extended time of prayer with the Lord. But there were times that were pretty important for me. A couple of those times were real early on in the life of Warehouse Church where we had some struggles going on. And a couple of times it was like, hey, are we going to continue or not? And those were some times like that that I was drawn to time with the Lord, spent with that, seeking God. You know, I don't have it up on the screen, but in all of the Gospels, it's recorded, I think, because it's pretty important, Jesus praying in Gethsemane. Yeah, he had his disciples with him. He said, you guys wait over here. And then he went off and prayed. So sometimes it's almost a mixture of, you know, praying alone and praying with others. Let the Lord lead and guide on that. But real quick, a few instructions about prayer from the Master, from Jesus, out of that awesome passage where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Matthew 6, it's part of that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're not going to go through the whole Sermon on the Mount, but we'll just kind of see what leads up to this here. It's kind of cool because Jesus sets the stage. He's already in the middle of his teaching here. Verse 1 of Matthew 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus is saying basically, hey, reward from your Father in heaven is a good thing and you should want that. But if you just do things publicly so other people will see them, man, your reward is already gone. You're not getting nothing. You're not getting anything. You are getting nothing. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I'll tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. When you give to the needy, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, so that your giving might be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he repeats this again, this whole idea of being alone with God and God rewarding you for that time. That's cool. And again, that is a good thing, seeking that reward. And guess what? The reward isn't winning the lottery. The reward is more of God himself. That's kind of like in the book of Psalms where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Cool, I'm going to get a new bike or a guitar. No, That means He will place His desires in your heart, and then He fulfills them. He will give those desires to you, and then He fulfills them. How awesome is that? So we seek God, and guess what we get when we seek God? Him. You know, we seek His righteousness, and we get Him. To know God? Does that sound familiar? Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. Now, zeroing in on prayer. I already talked about giving and about how that should be done, not to impress people. Now, Jesus focuses on prayer. Verse 3, and when you pray, this is awesome. It's not like, hey, if you pray, it's when you pray. This is an expectation for those who would be followers of God, followers of Jesus. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And that word is also used in its common Greek here, to me, it means an actor. Somebody who pretends to be somebody that they're not. Man, may this never be said of me or of you in our lives with the Lord, that we act one way one day or in front of a certain group of people, but then we look another way when we're not on stage, when we're not being looked at. No way. Don't be an actor. Don't be a hypocrite. Wow. They love to be seen in the synagogues and on the street corners, seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Some people read this and think, oh, that's the only, you know, hey, you guys that pray publicly, that's wrong. No, we're going to look at next week plenty of times where Jesus prayed publicly, where His church prayed publicly together, and it's a good thing. But there is that time for both of those settings. But your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. So don't be a hypocrite, don't be an actor. There is time for prayer alone. Why? Because God wants a relationship with you. You are important. You are an important part of God's kingdom work. Don't think because you're not in some big public setting that you're not important. You're absolutely important with those relationships God has placed around you at home or maybe at school or at work or in the neighborhood. You are vitally important to God and what He wants. And guess what? He wants to just hang out with you and reveal Himself as your Father in a much deeper way. So that's pretty awesome. Verse 7, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them because your Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. It's not about the length of your prayer or the repeating of words. Not that a written out prayer is wrong. No, often it's awesome to be able to kind of, again, figure out what you're thinking and write stuff down. But if something just comes from rote repetition, there's no heart behind it, there's no life behind it, forget it. And I have to admit, that's how I was raised, saying we had like two prayers at our house we rotated with. And I'm glad we did it. It was better than not doing it. And I'm sure my parents within the Christian faith stream I was raised in, that's just kind of how most people did it. But I didn't grow up with knowing that it was a real vital, life-giving thing. It was just, okay, here we are. Before we eat the hamburger, we say the same prayer all the time. And for me, at least, it wasn't really mixed with faith. But it's not just about repeating the same words over and over and over. That can only be good if there's heart, if there's feeling, if there's thought, if there's interaction between you and God happening during that time. So it's not just a formula or rote repetition. God wants our hearts. So how do we pray then? Verse 9. This is then how you should pray. The first word out of Jesus' mouth here, first word that should be out of our mouth is our. This is amazing here. It shows me that it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not. Our prayer, even time alone with God, isn't about me or you. It's about God and us together. It's community. The kingdom of God is community. It's family. It's together. Our. Even when we're praying in that closet with the door shut, Jesus says, it's our. It's not just all about me. It's our. So for some of you guys, that's going to be a major sea change in how you think and how you pray. And that's really cool. So our Father. And here again, we're talking about relationship. Jesus During his incarnation, he talked a lot about the Father. That was one of the really radical things that he did. It was hinted at earlier in the Old Testament, but Jesus fully blew that up and lived it, about how it was to have a Father in heaven. And I know God does not have a physical gender and all of that, but through Scripture, God has revealed himself mostly as our Father. And within the Trinity, it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's pretty important in what God is doing here. As his Father, he knows what we need. And it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about us. But God's our Father, and I really have to say, I appreciate some friends that God has put in my life and maybe in yours too who use this terminology of Abba or Daddy for God quite a bit. I love that because I need that. Hal Bryant, Hal's one of them. You know, Brother Hal. We miss Brother Hal. Pray for Brother Hal. You know, but he's always talking about Daddy God. You know, Ben Shankin, Ben's another one. Ben has a keen awareness Ben with Riverwoods of Daddy God. Man, I need to hear that all the time because I need to remember that that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. Our Father, who is in heaven. Again, that God is transcendent. He is beyond us and where we dwell. But because of his great love, he chooses to interact with us. Our Father, who is in heaven. But obviously, he's here too. He's hearing us with what we say. We're going to end with this. Holy is your name. God is perfect. He is set apart. That word very literally in the Hebrew means to cut, to make pieces of something that is initially whole. God is holy. He is together. He has integrity. But he's separate from everything that's not whole and has integrity in the fallen world. But he is King and Lord over it all. That's a pretty amazing paradox and irony that's going on there. But our Father who is in heaven, you're holy. You are holy. We are identifying his holiness. We are reminding ourselves of his holiness. Why? Because that sets the tone for everything else that we should pray about. It's not, Lord, you are my vending machine that I'm going to get what I want right now. It's not, Lord, you are holy. It's your kingdom. Our Father. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We've got one song. We'll wrap up with that. So come up here and plug in, you guys. Some of you may know who Keith Green is. He's a guy that God has used in many people's lives. He died in a plane crash at, I think, 28, 29 years old in 1982. He's a guy who, one of the few that I would say clearly spoke prophetically. And I always want to say, if you want to feel like convicted of sin, just listen to any Keith Green song, and it's likely to happen. But let me read this, and we'll kind of close the message with this. So it's the song, Make My Life a Prayer to You. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no just token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from our despair, from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. He says, well, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. It's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll just have to trust and believe what you say. You're coming again. You're coming to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me so that I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. Again, think to know God, to make him known. I want to tell the world out there, you're not some fable or fairy tale that I've made up inside my head. You're God the Son. You've risen from the dead. I want to die and let you live your life to me so that I might live and share the hope you gave me, the love that set me free. So one of the goals through this whole series is that we really know that no matter where we're at, that we should be praying. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the time you've blessed us with here together, Lord. We do just submit ourselves to you and invite your good, deep work in each of our lives. Take each of us where we're at and bring us closer to you, Lord, in relationship. Lord, would you open up opportunities for us to show your love in our deeds and in our words, Lord, this week, Father, would you guide us? And we give to you and our offerings, Lord. May you break that and bless that and multiply that, that spiritual needs, physical needs could be met, Lord, way beyond us. And we love you, Lord, and ask all this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.